We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on cranberry.fm, episode number 283. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local. So you feeling all caught up with all your work there, John?
Are you kidding?
It's an ongoing joke.
Every time I get three things done, six more show up on my desk. I've been telling people recently that I feel like one of those people in the old time circus that have like 16 different plates are spinning on little sticks and they have to try to keep them all spinning at the same time to make sure they don't fall. That's my life right now, but I like it.
it's addictive as long as you can keep your energy up. I've had a few days where I've been like, oh my God, I just need to shut down. But then they just pile up then, right?
It's not like the stuff goes away if you ignore it, right?
Damn it, no. anyway, it's good though, right? We're busy. That's a good thing. So
yes, very true.
Nothing worse than being bored. Remember those days.
But the problem is with you and I both being busy, sometimes it's hard to get this show done, which bothers me.
Ditto. Yeah, that sucked last week. So I'm glad we're back on here, and I hope our listeners enjoyed the last show, which had some 101 content. We're making an effort to add some more. We're going to have some more in there today, too. So, but first, as in last week or last show, the news. So we're going to start off with the EISH files. I should do it right away. The EISH files.
Didn't we talk about that? Come on.
I can't help. Oh, yeah, it wasn't a very good one anyway. It's not as good as the Mueller one. I'll get to that. All right, so first, this is a Google crawl budget. Now, crawl budget. I'll let you quickly explain what that is there, John.
So,
or what we've known anyway.
Yeah, I hate that phrase. So if you think about a budget, that's how much money you have, and it's you need to make sure you need to go to this thing, and this thing, right? So you have your money allocated across all the things you need to spend it on. Well, a crawl budget is basically the same thing, but the pages of your websites are the things you need money spent on. And the crawl that the Google spiders is actually crawling your site. So you need to make sure there's enough time for that bot or enough direction or enough, whatever it is to make sure that all the different pieces of your site are getting crawled. And Google will only spend so much time on your site. So you got to make sure that you understand how that bot is getting into your site and what pages it's finding and how to help it skip the pages it doesn't need to be on and make sure it hits the pages it's supposed to be on, those kind of things.
Well, that monetary analogy just burned, didn't it?
It did. It really did.
Yeah. So the idea, the raw idea is, yeah, essentially the crawl budget is you've only got a certain amount of opportunity for Google to crawl your pages. You better make sure they do it to the right pages. Well, Gary Eish, our new poor substitute for Matt Cutts, although no offense to Eish, he's doing a good job. It's just Matt was a good guy.
And before we go in, just to sidetrack here for a second, in case you haven't heard, Matt has officially left Google. He's no longer on hiatus. He is gone. What's the government agency he works for? He went to work for the government agency in digital something.
It's digital security, I think.
Digital security. And he became director. He's pretty high up in the agency for a short term. Well, apparently the head of the agency was a political appointment, one of the new administration. The head of the agency basically lost his job because it was a political appointment. Matt Cutts took over. So Matt Cutts is now the head of the entire agency for digital security for the United States. Whether he gets to keep that job if our new administration puts in a new political appointee, I don't know. But at the moment, it's Mr. Cutts.
I didn't know he was. I know he had a high one, but I didn't realize he was the top.
He's the head of it right now. He's the acting head, we should say, until they decide whether or not they're going to put a new political appointee in there. But
yes,
with the idea that the new administration has frozen all federal hiring, so they're not allowed to hire anybody anyway, maybe he's going to keep the job longer than he expected.
Okay, here it is. On December 31st, 2016, I resigned from Google. I'm currently serving as Director of Engineering for the USDS. That's the U.S. Digital Service. Mikey Dickerson, the first administrator of the USDS, is a political appointee, so he'll step down on Inauguration Day. When that happens, I'll serve as acting administrator of the USDS. The work that the USDS does is critical to the American people, and I'm honored to continue the tradition. Pretty cool. Wow.
Yep.
They're lucky to have him. He must be a lot of fun to work with. He's bright as all hell.
Yeah, I will say this. I bet his agency is going to rank really well in Google.
Yeah, they don't already. Come on.
Yes, exactly.
In any case, so that was a bit of a tangent, but well worth it. Gary Eish has posted an article on Google crawl budget, sort of the well, it's massive. To put it simply, it's
massive.
32 pieces of our points that were noted in significant detail, and you can find it. I'm sure on many places. The place I found it was on the SEM Post, of course. It's just an awesome site. Anyways, he really gets into sort of dispelling some of the notions that are false about crawl budgets, and I do highly recommend reading it. We didn't quite realize it was that long, so I can't exactly summarize it.
There's a lot of interesting thing here. I know it's all about crawl budget, but if you look at there's a big table of contents. Table of contents has what, like 32 sections, but some of the sections have like 6 or 7 subsections. So there's a lot here, but some of it he's talking about things very specifically, like health of the site matters is the name of one. Site speed. Popularity matters. Site moves. He's very specifically talking about how this relates to site moves. Crawl priorities. There's lots of things in here that could be very interesting knowledge. Canonical and crawl budget. How do canonicals work with it? Those kind of things. So it's definitely worth a read. I know I'm going to take the time and read the whole thing at some point.
Well, it's certainly critical for companies like yours. And I want to sort of preface all this for most of the listeners. This probably won't have any impact on you. And I'll just quote something that Gary had wrote here. First, it is important to note that not all site owners will be impacted by crawl budget issues. For the most part, sites with 4,000 or fewer URLs generally won't have crawl budget issues. And for sites that run in the millions, crawl budget can be an issue that needs careful consideration and management. So
we get 4,000 URLs a week.
I thought it would be per day, but yeah, that's a week. Makes sense though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you've got a few sites there, so makes sense. In any case, I mean, crawl budget's always been something you've kept in mind, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's definitely sections of our site that are not nearly as important for us from a crawling and indexing perspective as others. And if we have limited availability of those crawlers, we want to make sure they go to the right place.
Now, curious, do you control that through sitemaps?
We have a number of different styles of sitemap. We do use there's different sitemaps. So there's Google News sitemaps. So we have specific sitemaps for our news content and editorial content, and we have other sitemaps for our non-editorial content. So yes, we do use that pretty exclusively on the news side. Is really the sitemaps are one of the most important tools we have as far as making sure that the new content published every day is getting crawled as quickly as and as effectively as we want it to be. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Okay. Very cool. Well, that was the, it's as much as we could fit in here really, because it is a huge article. I'm going to go take a look at it and because I've got a few clients that are big enough to warrant this concern, but I think a fair amount of you listening, well, or let's say 50%, let's guess, are going to be fine, not have to worry about this. Other ones, I do suggest taking a second and reading this. Again, the title is Google Crawl Budget, What SEOs Need to Know About Googlebot Crawling.
So, and here's a little tidbit that I just clicked through because I was curious what they were going to say. So there's a section here about site moves, right? The first sentence of this paragraph is great information. First sentence is, Google tends to crawl a site with higher frequency if a site move has taken place. That's just really interesting to know. And that includes things they go on to say like switching to HTTPS. That's considered a site move. Right, significant structure change is considered a site move to them. So there's enough stuff in there to really help you understand what's going on. I think this is going to be a great article.
It is, yeah. And I also got something out of that too. The fact that Google's been quite vocal about wanting to ensure that sites switching to secure or HTTPS are crawled by Googlebot as quickly as possible, so more site owners will make the secure switch. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. And something that makes good sense. It's nice when they follow the sense factor. It's always good.
So you got to wonder, though, is how long do they keep that higher frequency in place? So they detected a site move, or you went into Webmaster Tools, Webmaster Tools.
And you told them. Now. It's starting to get into your head.
I talk to too many clients, and I got to use the real term when I talk to clients because they'll get confused now. But if you go in there, there's a tool that helps you identify site moves to Google, right? You can go in there. There's a site move tool. Are they relying on that tool? Or are they identifying it independently? And once they identify or are notified of a site move and they improve the crawl frequency and they make it higher, how long does that last, right? There's still questions in my mind.
For sure.
But there's definitely good to have all this extra information.
Yeah, you know, this year is going to be the year of the secure site switch or changeover. We're going to be doing it for so many clients. In fact, we're trying to put together packages for it because it's going to be extensive. And some sites, it's going to be more difficult than others. And there's a lot to remember. It's a huge checklist. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it's easy. Well, no. If you've done it right, there's a lot of things you could miss and a lot of things you can screw up. So I'm nervous about it, actually. I want to make sure we don't miss a thing. But I'm sure we'll be schooled a couple times.
you'll learn as you go at your client's expense. I mean, you'll just learn as you go.
No. We get it fast. We'll pick it up fast. All right. So I think...
I have a question. Hold on. Oh. Is stepforth.com secure yet?
No. Ours is one of the first to be done.
You could do it on yours, and then your learnings will come.
That is exactly the plan. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't dare do that with my clients the first time. It gives me the chills. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some Mueller files.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess. Do you have cold, hard cash burning a hole in your pocket? Let Cranberry Radio lighten your load. Just hand us that burdensome dinero, and we'll get you set up with your very own radio show. We produce, edit, and amplify the show. All you have to do is show up. It's time for you to make an impact. We're glad to help. Just hand over the cash. Space is limited, so contact us now at sales@cranberry.fm.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit fjorddigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's fjorddigital.com.
Are you paying too much for your paid advertising, or have you quit altogether because it seemed like a huge waste of money? Studies show that companies waste 25% of their PPC spend on average. The web marketing experts at WMETraining.com can show you how to make your AdWords account a lean, mean, converting machine. Whether you're just starting out or want to take your skills to the next level, we have a class for you. Contact the web marketing experts at WMETraining.com.
Jamming and spamming, cashing in the clicks. SEO is always in session, only on Cranberry Radio, cranberry.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, some Mueller files. Google is going to be notifying sites about mobile-first possible issues in Search Console. Now, you read this, John. Why don't you fly with us?
Yeah, basically, this was part of one of Mueller's hangouts that he did. And someone asked the question about, you know, how are we going to know if we have issues with mobile first? And basically, the quote was, we will inform people when we get closer, when we actually have a date. So they're going to let people know if they see potential issues between the desktop and the mobile in Search Console. Dang, I just want to say Webmaster Tools so bad. But he called it Search Console, so I have to. But what really got me about this whole article was that quote, was when we get closer, when we actually have a date. So that's interesting that it's not going to be a gradual rollout to make things mobile first. It's going to be a date when something is going to happen that all of a sudden mobile first is going to take effect, right? That to me was pretty telling. Now, whether or not it stays that way, who knows? But that's one of the things I took out of that conversation more than anything was they don't even have a date and they are going to have a specific date. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting. And I have no idea when it's going to be. I think they said closer to the end of the first quarter, but I guess time will tell. Good with their dates.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be not long after people start getting notification in Webmaster Tools about issues.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So in the last show, we talked about mobile interstitials. And those, to quickly recap, are the pop-ups you see when you're on your phone and you go to a page and it says whatever it might say, some sort of an ad that you have to click to close before you see the content that you were trying to see. Google has frowned upon those and has said that there is now going to be a penalty of sorts, whereby if you have them and they are too large, they take over the screen, you're going to see some impact on rankings. So questions have come up over time.
Has it completely rolled out? Do we know that for sure? Because I know it was rolling out as of January 10th. And it's been a couple weeks now. Do we know it's 100% rolled out? I haven't seen anything from anybody saying, yes, it's done.
No, I haven't heard anything about 100%, but I have heard that there's been some improvements for people who have responded to issues. So, I mean, that tells me they've gone through a couple times on some sites.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So questions have come up, as they always do, from us SEOs. People are wondering, how big can they be? Everyone trying to push the limits, right? And John Mueller, typically, as you'd expect him to say, said, well, we don't really want to tell you how big they can be because we know that you're going to follow the maximum. You're going to make everyone's going to be the same pixel size. That said, he did recommend looking at the Safari app banner as an example of something that is appropriate. Now, I really have no idea what that is. I don't use Safari. So
the Safari app banner, if it's other things that I've seen that they've said is appropriate, sometimes you'll get a little banner that drops down at the top of the screen that if you have like my phone, I've got the larger iPhone 7, and it's maybe 3/4 of an inch of the screen from the top. And it's just a little thing saying, you know, do you want to download the mobile app or something like that with a call to action. It's very small compared to the size of the screen, and it sits at the top right above it, and you can close it pretty easily. If that's the same thing that he's talking about, it's pretty small as far as the banner goes.
There you go. Okay. Well, another thing that's being affected, and I thought this was quite interesting, and you know, huge kudos again to the SEM Post. It's one of our best resources. I find it fantastic. Anyway, all this info is from them. So keep it up, Jen.
We should get her on the show, actually.
You're right. We've said that a few times with a few people. We really just got to get around to it, don't we?
we need an assistant to do all our scheduling for us.
Yes. 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 Well, we can hire one of those VAs.
There you go.
Anyway, one of the issues are language selector pop-ups. People were wondering, obviously they can be pretty critical to a site, for at least older sites that haven't adapted. And we'll get to that. But they'd asked John about this, and he said, yes, language selector pop-ups are considered interstitials and should be managed as such. He recommends using the href lang to handle this type of targeting automatically or switch to a banner style instead, which Amazon apparently does well. Again, another one I haven't seen, but apparently it has a pretty decent one.
Is that still an issue with a lot of the Canadian websites where you have to choose between English and French?
I don't see that very often, no. Most of the time, I think they know that I'm English based on the choices from my browser, right?
It used to be a long time. The first thing you always saw for a Canadian site was that choice.
Yeah. Yeah. But now, of course, it's built into the browser, so I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. And I guess that, you know, that's what the hreflang is doing for you, right? So that's good. Anyways, update if you have that issue. The next one, these are issues that simply because, well, from a legal issue, they're rather important. Age verification to use. So warning people that cookies are going to be used. They have to approve it, that kind of thing. And also age verification, they have to qualify that they are of a certain age before seeing content. You know, that'd be pretty bad if they made those bad news. A few sites out there, I imagine kids shouldn't see.
But how easy would that be for Google to help identify porn sites to pull them out of the index, though, right? By flagging those age verification interstitials and treating them just like any other one.
Must be another Matt Cutts out there manually surfing them.
Yeah, now you're going to have to explain that reference to the people who have no idea what you're talking about.
Back in the day when Matt Cutts started, he was doing that by hand. His job was to look at go through the porn sites and look for the ones that were breaking the rules.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck, and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4 to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.
Yeah, his first job at Google was to help refine the porn identification algorithm. And he tells a story about his cubicle or whatever was right outside of the down the hall from you had to walk past him to get to Larry and Sergey's offices, and they'd have big wigs coming in, Larry and Sergey, and they'd walk right past Matt Cutts' desk where he's surfing porn sites.
On the clock.
Yep. Yeah, on the clock.
Oh dear. His poor wife got home a little disturbed, I bet. Yes. Would,
you know, she might have liked the after effect.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, dear God, let's not go there. Okay. Anyway, yes, he had quite the job there. Anyway, apparently he excelled at it, and that's why he was promoted.
And now he's in charge of United States digital security.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't see any porn there.
No, I'm sure not.
Here.
Ready to get off topic.
All right, so let's talk about how to build authority 101. So
what's authority?
Yes, what is authority? Well, it's not that local cop. It's your authority. It's the person you are to other people. When they let's just think about it in real life. Do you have authority? Are you a kind of person when they think about you, they think, well, this person's an authority on this subject? Because you're obviously very knowledgeable about it. You've talked about it before very confidently. You're just the person that people go to if they have a question about a specific subject. Well, that's in real life, that's foot to pavement kind of interaction. Well, the thing is, that same thing is what Google looks for online. It's looking to determine if you're an authority on a particular subject, and it looks at a variety of different signals to figure that out. Some of which we can only guess, but we're good at guessing. So,
but let's take that a step further, because if we go back to the days of the Google Zoo, as David Harry likes to call it, and we look back at the pigeon update. Remember the pigeon update? Really focused on local. But one of the things that came out of the pigeon update, one of the more important things to me, was there all of a sudden became a fairly clear defined line between topical authority and geo or location authority on websites. So you almost had to look at, okay, what's my authority related to the topics that I cover on my website or my products and services or whatever, but also what's my authority related to where I'm located, especially if I have a physical location or a business and I'm targeting a specific area. Those ended up being two separate types of authority that you almost had to manage separately.
Mm-hmm. No, we can definitely dive into the aspects of all the different types of authority. I agree. It's a rabbit hole, at least in terms of what we expect it is. So content is king. What do you think of that, John?
I hate that phrase, and you know it.
Gotta bait you. Okay.
Yes, I know.
Why don't you explain why you hate that? Because everyone's heard it.
So, and I have actually pitched 2 years in a row now. I've pitched a session at Content Marketing World. The name of the session is Content is Not King. It's core, right? Because if you think about content, you know, I relate. If you think about content as a king, well, a king is born into their position. They inherit their authority. They inherit their lands. They don't work for anything. And there's only one of you, right? There's only one king in a land. Content is not born into anything. You have to build its authority. You have to build the trust in the content. And it's more like a local community councilman than a king, because it's only really relevant to the people that know about it, right? And there's so many pieces of content on the same exact subject online. There's no way you can create a piece of content about a 401k program right now that's unique and different from the 10,000 other pieces of content out there on 401k programs. So just by saying content is king, it's not it by any means. It's core. You've got to have it, and it's got to be there, and it's got to be great content. But that's not the only thing that matters. There's so many other things that have to happen to that content to make it perform. And authority is one of those things. Absolutely. So there.
Well said. Well said. Okay. So content is not king. I'm sorry, everyone.
It's core. However, it is core.
It is core. It is core, though. Yes. But everyone likes to call it king. I mean, it's just, sorry. That's probably why you weren't brought on. Everyone's like, no, I want to call it king.
I know.
Anyway,
you can't go to Content Marketing World and tell them content isn't the most important thing. They don't like that at all.
You're offending their sensibilities. Okay, so it is core. Well, if content is core, then it really comes down to what we're talking about here in building authority. There's different types of content, though. You got to keep that in mind. There's various types of media. And really what it comes down to, this is how I like to approach it. I mean, everyone's got their own way, but I like to research the market. I call them authority building plans. That's what we do here at Stepworth as part of our job. But what I do is I look at competitors, and not direct competitors, not the ones in your local market, although I might look at them, but they're certainly not the only ones I'd look at. If you're in Saskatchewan here in Canada and you've got a business, well, I might look in New York for a comparable business and see how they've managed to win in search visibility. It doesn't matter where they're at. Most of the time, it's what content has led them to that kind of success.
So can we go back to what exactly?
Sure, derail me.
Yeah, no, I'm going to derail you, because I want to make sure that we understand and our listeners understand when we're talking about authority as it relates to SEO, right? And there's a couple things we have to think about. One is, how does a search engine determine authority, right? And how do they use that information? Then we have to understand, how do we build it so they can determine it and then use it, right? So what you're talking about is really how do we build it? Am I correct?
Kind of. It's not right now. I'm talking about determining what content actually has legs, what has worked for others, and how to adapt to it and make it your own, and put into a plan. So concepts, but and figuring out what Google likes, you're kind of doing it by the same token because you're looking at what has worked for others.
But there's authority metrics that are not related to content as well. So NAP citations are authority builders. Social mentions, brand mentions are, you know, not link related on other websites or authority builders, whether it's tied to a specific piece of content or not. So while content is important, it's core, not king. I'd say that's the same in when it comes to authority. Content is a piece of one of the things you have to do to build authority, but there are other things outside of content that help build authority for your brand, for your website, tied to again, citations and social or brand mentions on other websites, social media activity. Even though Mueller told us on this very show they don't use it, I still think he's just covering because they have to and they do use it. Everybody talked about link building being such a big part of it. Link building is now a piece of authority building, right? We don't use link building here as a term at all. We call it authority building, but you know, linking and link building is a big chunk of that, but you have to have the content to link to. So it all intermixes, but I just want to make sure everybody understands when we're talking about content, that's not everything to do with authority. There's lots of other pieces as well.
All right. That could have been a point, you know, after mine. Anyway,
just saying it would have been before yours anyway, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, geez. You know what? All right. Yeah. I'll finish my statement. We'll have a quick break, but first, so when I'm doing these analysis, I'm looking at what content has succeeded. Again, it could be videos. It could be mentions in a local news article, anything that's showing up as fairly impactful for a person's brand. And then I decide whether or not this is something feasible. Is this something that they could do in-house? Is this something they can match? You know, obviously, if it's because of that they got a listing in a news article, well, maybe that's down the line then. But building that authority now is going to be important. You want to make sure you're doing it with the right content. So many people write, and that's great. Not enough people write, but people do write, and they just don't think about what really will work. It's not about volume. It's about quality, and it's about planning. And I really think you know, I'm pretty passionate about these authority plans because I think it's key to knowing what is going to work. And then everything else is fed by this information. Another reason we push it is link building is painful. This has link attraction written all over it. This is the kind of thing that people will link. The kind of people talk about in social. This is
explain the difference between link building and link attraction for our 101 listeners.
Okay, so link building, the old format of trying to get people to link to you. Well, this is naturally hard because everyone's getting inundated by emails. They're inundated by requests for everything. I mean, Gmail or everywhere is just getting flooded with spam. So it's very difficult nowadays. And frankly, even on the outset, it was just not the best approach. The best approach is to be so good that people link to you anyway. They find the content compelling. They want to share it with their friends. So they share it socially, or they organically link to it in their websites or anywhere that they have particular access. So I do believe that that's the best approach. I got that phrase from our good friend David. What's his last name? David Harry. And I really appreciate link attraction. I just like the way it's used. Before then, even then, I think I was using the word authority building, but link attraction just makes way more sense as a component to that. And it's a great win, right? You don't have to go out there and gruelingly try to contact people for links. There might be a component of that when it's really, really important and then you know you're not going to get your word out, but link attraction is the best way to go. So we've got more to talk about. Hold on. We'll be right back and we'll talk more about playing with the news and some other options for building authority.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Do you have cold, hard cash burning a hole in your pocket? Let Cranberry Radio lighten your load.
Just hand us that burdensome dinero, and we'll get you set up with your very own radio show. We produce, edit, and amplify the show. All you have to do is show up. It's time for you to make an impact. We're glad to help. Just hand over the cash. Space is limited, so contact us now at sales@cranberry.fm.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to zosocial.com.
Cranberry Radio is your new destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Browse through our complete library of programs at cranberry.fm or on demand through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and Google Play. Don't worry, you can still access all of our great webmasterradio.fm programs at cranberry.fm. Refresh your bookmarks today to Cranberry Radio at cranberry.fm.
Online anytime. This is Cranberry Radio, cranberry.fm.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advance Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. Now, we're talking about building authority, and I know you sounded like you wanted to mention something, John.
No, I was just thinking about, you were talking about link building versus link attraction, and I was just thinking about the link landscape as a whole across the internet. Because, you know, 10 years ago when you and I were into this, links was how you found stuff online. You go to a search engine, and then you follow links. And everybody was publishing out there, and they were always publishing links. Getting a link published somewhere was a lot easier than it is today because people don't publish links as much as they used to. People don't share things with links the way they used to. Now they're sharing it in social media or, you know, any number of other methodologies. So the idea of relying on links as the link landscape of the internet is probably shrinking. I know it's not growing at the rate it used to, but it could even be shrinking, is not a real good, you know, long-term authority strategy. And you know, there'll always be links and they'll always be an important part of SEO. But other things are becoming important as well when it comes to this authority building piece.
Yeah.
So that was in my mind because you asked me what I was thinking and that's what I was thinking.
Did I ask you? Oh, I'm sorry.
See, you asked me to talk and I talked. That's how it works.
You know, one of the other tactics I like is playing with current news. What's happening? What's happening in the news? And is there any way for you to play off it to be, you know, to really have a timely article, one that perhaps even the news would want to note that would be useful in Harrow? That's Help a Reporter Out. I believe it's harrow.com. If you can go there, you can sign up.
So tied to that, one of the things that we use frequently in our editorial strategies, especially when it comes to the news algorithms, again, just like we talked about earlier with content and not being king, if a news story breaks, every news organization is going to cover it. And everybody's going to basically write the same thing because there's, you know, they know who did what, when, and where, right? Everybody has that same information. They'll word it a little bit differently, but it's all going to be basically the same thing. And so how do you compete when all the news organizations are writing the same thing about the same breaking news story? And the way to do that, and Google is very good about identifying this, is find other approaches to the story, other side stories that are related to the exact same thing. Like if there's a news story about a certain person doing something, right? Everybody's talking about that person who did something. In order to get better recognized by Google, talk about how that something impacted that person's mother, right? Find a related something that's tied into it, but not about the exact same topic, and you'll do very well. And I think what you're trying to say is to do the same thing.
Before you cut in. Yeah. But you just, did a better job of it. You did a better job of it. So that's all right.
Hey, you're talking my thing now. You're talking about giving me the news.
It is true. I realize I should have just had you talk about it. It is one of my favorite tactics, though. It's great. You know, if you find that piece of news and you can give it a twist on it, it can do fantastic things for you. It really can.
Two things you want to avoid, especially nowadays, is fake news and alternative facts. just avoid those just in principle, if you would, please.
Yes, yes. Not entirely the same thing, of course.
No.
oh, dear. All right. I can't remember now. You made me blank. Have we done our three?
You got to talk about guest posting.
Yes. Well, guest posting is I put a question mark there because, frankly, it's a hard one to quantify. I do believe it's got benefit, but I think that the best way to go about it. Now, first of all, what is guest posting? It's when you get out to you either ask to be a poster, post some content on a particular site that you appreciate and you think it'd be good to have some content on because you like the readership. You think they're applicable to your business. Or you're being asked to do that. I think it's best if you do that, but you do it on a regular basis. Create a profile on that site versus just doing a one-off. I think even Matt Cutts mentioned that a while ago, quite a while ago now, but guest posting is one of those things that is overused in some aspects. A lot of sites just have various people just spewing content. I mean, there's no rhythm to it. There's no person you can get attached to reading. I think creating that profile is key. What were you thinking there, John?
You may have heard, if you've been in the industry in a while or you've read stories, there was some controversy about guest posting a number of years ago. And there was a site that was put up called, what was it, My Guest Post or My Guest Blogger or something like that. But basically, it was a network of here's a bunch of people that want to write posts, and here's a bunch of websites that want guest posters posting on their websites, and they paid fees to the site to connect with each other, right? And so there was a controversy because this site and this network of sites tied to this were all hit by Google. And I don't think it was as much because of the tactic of guest posting. I think it was because of the money that got involved by paying the site. It became more of a paid tactic, which everybody should know that Google really frowns upon. So keep money out of it. If you're doing guest posting, try to keep money out of it any way you possibly can. But I agree, Ross. I mean, if it's something that you're good at, make sure it's a site that you're connected to that's relevant to your target, your business, and that you are a contributor, not just a guest, but try to become a regular contributor.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Some ideas on how to build authority. There's a lot more to it. You can look online for content ideas or different ways of looking at this, but content ideas, I know there's a few articles out there that give some great ideas. How to build local citations or local links, some great content out there on that. It's a big field, under itself. And it's something that if you ever need any help with, you know where to reach us, and we'd love to help out.
You know what we should do next week? Let's continue this 101 thing, and let's tackle content, not just as a content is king thing, but let's talk about it a little more deeply.
Okay. We'll talk about what that means. All right. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Thursday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.